We'll call this meeting order. Mr. Burgess is on his way, but we'll get started on it. It is 5:40 or 5:38, and we'll get started. Jane, can you do the first few things for us?
As a standing committee of the school board, we would like to take this moment to acknowledge we are residing on the traditional land of the Dene people. Our mission is to provide an excellent, equitable education in a safe, supportive environment so all students will succeed and contribute to a diverse and changing society. Do the roll call. Jeremy Bales.
Here.
Aaron Beatsy.
Here.
Melanie Bionek.
Here.
Rachel Blackwell.
Here.
I see Rachel on Zoom, so I'm going to mark her here. Brooke Freebird is excused. Hannah Harp.
Here.
Don Larson.
Present. Present.
Elizabeth Nadine.
Here.
Elizabeth is also on Zoom. Joshua Peter is absent. Suzanne Richards is
here.
Heather Stewart.
Here.
Alexa Walker is absent. Courtney Young is absent. Shane Beam.
Here.
And Bobby Burgess is absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. First item is to look at the agenda and then give our approval on that. Can I have a motion?
I move to adopt the agenda for tonight.
Second.
Thank you. And next,
sorry, who seconded that? I couldn't.
Melanie.
Thank you.
Second, minutes from last week. I'm looking for a motion to approve those.
Elizabeth Nadine, make a motion to approve
the minutes from last meeting.
Okay, I'll second. Elizabeth, second.
This is Jeremiah Bales. I second.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Appreciate it. Now moving on to the meat of the day, curriculum updates. We have updates on several things today, and we appreciate everyone being here ready to go. I'll turn it over to Tara.
Awesome. Thank you. Jen, can you advance two slides really, because the next slide just says curriculum writing updates, and then we'll get into just the reminder of our timeline from last time and where we are now, right? So moving back into the 23-24 school year where we got input, and in the spring we formed committees, and over the summer we wrote for PE Health, Art, Music, and World Language. On the August 9th PD, we teachers met to review and provide feedback on drafts. They provided feedback on music and art. We just didn't have an actual draft one document for them to look at yet. Late August, early September was public comment. We had our board curriculum committee meeting on September 5th, where we talked about draft one of world language, PE, and health. Right now, like September, October time, draft one just ended public comment for music, and public comment is open right now for draft one of art. We're a review of public comment with our writing teams for PE and health and world language happened, and we'll talk about some of that tonight. And then, of course, in October and November time, we will be going into draft three. And so tonight, go ahead, Jen, in advance one. We are going to look at draft one of music, right? So since we last met, that has gone out for public comment, but we didn't have a chance for this committee to really look at draft one of music and see what the proposed changes were and provide any direct feedback on that. And so you have, the cover letter for music kind of goes through what the proposed changes are at each level, and we'll talk about those tonight. And then you do have the big copy of the whole music curriculum if you want to dig into all the different pieces. But what I will say overall, right, is at the elementary level, it really was a big structural change. And so as much as this document and that those of you that have it in front of you can see, like, it's hefty, right? And there's lots and lots of pages here. Like, it's slimmer than what our current one is. And that was one of the big things at the elementary level, was to really streamline, to make it a more usable document, right? And so essentially they created this elementary ensembles course, which kind of consolidates all of those courses that are listed as being archived. And so it's not necessarily that all of those courses are truly being archived, but they're falling under this bigger heading of elementary ensemble. And so then at an elementary school, instead of taking all of the same standards and then all of the same objectives and copying and pasting it 10 times over into each of those courses, like, those courses all kind of hit on those same standards and objectives. So we said, well, here's what we're doing in any type of an ensemble class. Here are the types of ensembles that you might see at an elementary school, right? And so that change was the big piece for elementary. And then there's some formatting change with, like, grade level general music, right? Just trying to make the document more user friendly so that when a teacher is opening it up and going as a kindergarten, you know, instead of kind of having my kindergartners come in for their 30 minutes of music today, what am I really working on for topics, and what are the must-dos versus what can we explore, and here are some suggested activities, right? So they're really trying to think through having a document that is useful for our current veteran teachers, but also as we're in this age of lots of young career teachers, some emergency cert teachers, just new teachers to the profession, saying, okay, well, those are who needed even more support, and what does it look like? And so really wanting a document that kind of spoke to that. And so one of the things that will be addressed in draft two of music, you know, if you were flipping through the document, you'll see, like, elementary ensemble, the course overview and standards start on page 31. And then on the next pages, it says course descriptions, but there's nothing there. That's the part of kind of building in of all of these, what I've listed as archived classes, which ones truly do go into this elementary ensemble. And then we'll have a course description. Like, one of the things that will stay archived would be probably general music six, being that sixth grade is really in our middle schools now, not in our elementary schools, right? But probably the majority of the rest of those will fall underneath that elementary ensemble piece. So that was kind of the goal on the elementary front. In the middle school, Jen, can you advance the slide? They also had a format update and wanted to make sure to include key vocabulary that was being addressed, and make sure to kind of beef up the suggested resources that teachers could use. They did add two courses. So we used to have, you can see on the archive list, that was just choir, and, like, that was what you had in middle school. Everybody just took choir. They're recognizing there are levels of choir. So they broke choir into beginning choir and advanced choir. So although it's listed as new, it's really a split from what we had. And then they archived concert band, concert orchestra, intermediate guitar, and varsity band. And some of that at the middle school level was some of the same kind of formatting again of making sure that the document was more clear about what was being taught at each level, and really differentiating the difference between those different courses. Right. Certainly at any point as I'm talking about this, if you guys have questions, feel free to interrupt me and chime in, or Mackenzie, if you think of something I'm missing. And then at the high school level, so Jen, if you go one more slide, again, the high school, middle school formatting is very similar. So wanting to have that key vocabulary and suggested resources. They had some title changes. And it's interesting because when you're, not a person that teaches band or orchestra or choir or music, it is much more clear to go, oh, beginning band is where you start. Whereas it was being called varsity band, which maybe in my head as a sports person, right? Varsity is the, I wouldn't think of varsity as a beginning, right? And so they really wanted to make that clear. Same for orchestra, right? So instead of calling it varsity band and varsity orchestra, those really are the beginning level courses at the high school level. They also added in a beginning steel pan ensemble and a tenor bass choir. They did archive some courses that just haven't been taught, men's ensemble, show jazz, choir, and the steel pan ensemble. And I would say at the overall secondary level, so middle school and high school, like this was a big undertaking for our music writing team. So there were 7 teachers that came in and only 3 at the secondary level. And they really were trying to think through a big change in format and really trying to think of, okay, here's what's really happening in our schools and how can this document actually reflect that? And so it was a lot to get through in a week. And so we will see some changes from draft 1 to draft 2 with, I know at high school, there was a couple other courses they were hoping to add. And usually we try to get all of our new courses into draft 1, but they just ran out of time. And so they have a couple things they want to add. And I think there's even a different name change that they wanted to do something around orchestra, if I can remember from August 9th, but you'll see some changes and some differences when we do get to that point. Public comment did just end on this. We had 1 public comment come in. And so there's feedback from educators from August 9th. So they do have feedback from their colleagues, which is super helpful. They're the ones on the trenches teaching it. So for the document to be useful for them, but we did have a public comment from a parent and it commented on all 3 levels and really just saying, this looks really great. Music is super important and there's research to support why it's so important that we should be teaching it. And then just highlighted some of the pieces from some of the different courses that they thought were strengths for our curriculum documents. So it was great. Yep. Loved it. But again, right, the bulk of this work comes from the music teacher group. And I would say in our district, although 7 teachers came together to give up a week in their summer to work on this, our music teachers as a whole across our district do a great job of collaborating. And so I know they've garnered a lot of feedback also from the rest of our teachers to really drive what goes in, not just to this draft, but now what are the tweaks that need to happen from draft 1 to draft 2 to make it a really quality document. So that's what I have on music, unless there are any specific questions from anybody.
I know 2 people here who are directly impacted by this, music teacher and a principal, and maybe Jeremiah, I don't know if you play an instrument or not, or if you're band in that area. But I don't know, just from the people who are mostly directed, any thoughts on what you've seen?
Well, I was just going to say, the question that I had was about the archived courses. And so I sort of already got that taken care of. My concern was, I teach choir at this moment, exactly right now, this year. And, is that course suddenly gone? But it sounds like what's happening is there's going to be those course descriptions in there. And so as an elementary music teacher, then I am going to just say that's my ensemble. And then I get to pick and choose which ensembles I want to do, whether it's handbells or choirs or whatnot. And as long as that description is in there, I'm good to go. And even if it's not in there, if somehow an ensemble didn't make it into the ensemble category, it sounds like we still have the framework that it would be very easy for me to go to teaching and learning and have access to the things that the curriculum that I needed to make it happen to pilot a program. So that was my main question on it. which was answered. So excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart, as a middle school principal.
The only thing that I would say is it does more clearly reflect what we're teaching at the middle school. So kudos.
Perfect. And I will make sure to share that with the writers. We're actually going to get together on Monday and Tuesday, Monday for secondary, Tuesday for elementary. And I'll make sure to share that because that was a big piece of what they were trying to do, is to make sure it really is reflecting what's happening in our schools, and that it was a usable document, right? So awesome.
There's a hand up on Zoom.
Oh, perfect.
Can Suzanne.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
All right. So the question I have is looking at the elementary level. I am confused about the difference of the categories. There's a must do, an exploration, and a suggested activity. And I don't understand the difference between the exploration and the suggested activity, because in my mind, there's a must do, and then there's a way to support that. And I don't understand why there's two. Did you hear me? Uh-oh. For some reason, you guys just went away.
I can hear everybody online, but I'm not sure that the people in the room can hear us on Zoom.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice that as well. I don't really know what to do about that.
I will say I asked your exact question last week.
Yeah, I've actually asked it before, but I'm not sure what to do about communicating. Is this Elizabeth?
Yes, hi.
I don't see a place to type either.
I know, it's frustrating. And I open Q&A, it says not open to questions.
I know.
Gosh, you'd think they would figure that out.
Yeah. I wonder if I should call in.
Yeah, that would probably at least ensure that you're heard.
I can't hear him anymore.
I wonder if Bobby, if you get into the Zoom, if then maybe through your computer we'll be able to hear them.
I am looking for the mic.
Let's see, Suzanne, it was you who asked the question.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. This is Elizabeth. I'm on Zoom too, so not that helpful. But I was going to say, when I asked about this last week, what they told me was that they used to not have the suggested activities at all. And so I guess that's
new. No suggested activities again.
Oh, can you guys hear us in the room yet?
I don't know. Let's open. I know when Bobby has been in before, then we can usually hear from his computer. That's what.
Is this Tara? Tara?
Share the link with us real quick.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I've got my Zoom up, so go ahead and try now.
Okay, can you hear me, Bobby?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now we have a great... Should I try calling on the phone?
So, Bob, you might want to move it.
There's feedback on someone's end. I normally when I do this, I mute my Zoom and unmute when it's time for someone to talk, but we're still getting the feedback this time. So if there's something on someone else's end, a mic that might be picking it up, maybe mute that. Okay, let's try this one more time right now.
Okay. Can you hear me?
That's working, yes.
Okay. So my question, and Elizabeth was talking to me, Elizabeth and I could hear each other just fine, but we couldn't find neither one of us a place to type. But she said she had the same question, which is, oh, there it goes. Should I call in?
Suzanne, if you call in, it's going to go through Zoom. It's okay. Better just to try to talk through your computer.
Okay, I'll continue to try. The elementary curriculum has three headings. One of them is must-dos. One of them is, now I've lost it because I've been trying to deal with everything, but there's the suggested activity and the one in the middle. Now I've lost it.
Exploration is the middle one.
Which one? Explorations. I don't understand the difference between an exploration and a suggested activity. To me, there's a must do, and then there's like a suggested way to do it. And if I were looking at that, I'd go, I don't understand what the significance difference is.
Yeah, perfect. That's a good question. So it's kind of instead of using the must do, can do verbiage, like they decided to go with must do. So these, like for rhythm, like I'm in kindergarten, for rhythm, there are five must do student statements, right? But then if you are finding that you have time, or you just, more time to spend on rhythm, or maybe that group of kindergartners comes in and they already are ready to keep a steady beat, so now you can move forward. Here's things within rhythm that you could explore. But if you don't get to the explore concept, so if you don't get to echo or answer rhythm patterns as a kindergartner, that's okay. If you don't experience different long and short sounds as a kindergartner, that's okay. So they're more like, if you have the time, here's the way you can extend rhythm in kindergarten, versus the suggested activities is the way that you could work on the must do. So to explore and experience a steady beat, I can pat a steady beat while listening, singing, or rhythmically speaking. That's the way I'm going to practice the steady beat. Whereas echo or answer rhythm patterns is a different type of beat or enrichment. Thank you, Melanie. Yeah, like an enrichment piece.
Okay. So as a teacher,
Of what you see in exploration for one grade, you probably will see in some, maybe not exactly the same wording, but the concept shows up as a must do in a later grade.
Right. And so I guess that my point as a teacher, it would be clearer to me to either add scope and sequence. And so if something is mastered by my class, I would go on to the next skill and try to expand it that way, or change what you just said for exploration into enrichment, because that might be a better title for that.
Suzanne, could you repeat that? I'm sorry, my computer was not off mute. So 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so My suggestion would be either, in my experience with curriculum, is scope and sequence. It builds on each other. I would look to the next skill if my class had mastered the must-do. If exploration is meant to be enrichment, perhaps that title could be changed to enrichment to make it clearer.
Yeah, that is definitely something like that we can bring back to the writing team when we meet. We meet again with the elementary writing team on Tuesday, so we will make note of that and see, you know, their thoughts on maybe why they chose exploration over enrichment. I would imagine they had a conversation. I don't remember what it was, honestly.
So I would wonder, Melanie, were you in the room when all this was happening or no? As someone who's coming in from the outside, what's it seem like to you?
So I was actually wondering, what if you did must do suggested activities and then the enrichment exploration portion, just maybe the order flipping it so that must do's would be, this is what we have to do. Here are the activities in which we do them. And then if you have time with the exploration enrichment, and maybe that would make more sense in terms of, yeah, because the exploration right in the middle is a little, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, we have made note and we will talk about that with them, and draft two will be out and they'll kind of take that feedback and see where it goes. So yeah, perfect. Any other music questions before we jump into just the summary of public comment on world language, physical education, and health?
For these new high school classes, how do the credits reflect on the Alaska Performance Scholarship requirements?
Yeah, so any fine arts class, which is where music falls in, helps you qualify for APS. Yeah. And actually with the new APS, like there's a third pathway. Yes, we could maybe put that on the agenda for one meeting. But they would be even more helpful.
I have another question. Why were so many of the elementary like music courses archived?
Right. So the goal there, ultimately, I don't think, is that they're really truly going to be archived. It was that they made that ensemble class, finding that the majority of all of those courses hit the same standards and have the same learning objective. So to copy paste them like 10 times over versus to say, here's the type of, all of these are ensembles. When you're in an ensemble class, here are the standards that you will address. And then those classes will actually end up with just like a brief course description to clarify how you meet those standards in a handbell ensemble versus a choir, right? Or versus guitar or those different pieces. Yeah. All right, unless there are other questions, and certainly feel free if a music question pops into your head to come back at the end. We're going to move on to the summary of public comment on world language, and this is kind of the order I'm going to go through it. So world language, and then physical education, and then health. So on our world language draft that was out, and we talked about this draft last time, there was one community comment and one educator comment. The community comment just spoke to how all the levels, meaning elementary, middle school, and high school, like sound great, like, but there's a lack of resources, teachers to actually make it a reality. And so, we don't really have a world language elementary curriculum currently, and we didn't touch what is there in our draft, one of our rewrite. It's just it's a suggested way to do world languages if you had staffing in your building. It says, here's a way it might look if you actually had staffing for it. But it is true at the high school level, like we have a lot of language courses in our curriculum currently right now with our staffing. What we're able to teach is Spanish, right? And then we have the ability to tap into Chinese at West Valley, and some students take Japanese through the university. So we have a lot of languages that we say we could offer. The reason we want to have those in our document, right, is so that when we do get a teacher that is able, that want to teach French or German, American Sign Language, then we can offer it without that teacher having to fill out the whole pilot process to then be able to offer a class because the curriculum is there. And then the one educator comment from World Language just spoke to like defining key vocabulary and expectations specifically around Spanish, because that is where we have expertise right now in our district. That would be part of our appendix document, right? And so if you remember the way the World Language, like the big change for our World Language curriculum was that instead of having Spanish 1, Spanish 2, Spanish 3, French 1, French 2, French 3, right, German 1, German 2, right, like we said, level 1 looks like this for any language, right? Level 2 looks like this, level 3, level 4, speaking to the big global standards that you address at each level. And so the educator comment here just saying, well, let's make sure that we really, because what we have right now, the secondary level, high school level is Spanish expertise, let's make sure we are articulating Spanish a little bit more in our appendix document. And this, the writing team had already said, like, let's take what was currently adopted and move it into our appendix so we don't lose it, right? That way we have the ability to write a world language curriculum that speaks to all the levels without the expertise for every language. And then the language we have expertise for, we can flesh out more in our appendix. And then as we gain more world language teachers, we could say, oh, look, now we have French. Let's add better, more resources into the appendix for French. So that's kind of where we're at. So we won't see, you know, World Languages is not going to need a draft 2. Draft 1 will become the final draft as we move forward, but we will pull teachers together, writing team and all Spanish teachers together to think about this appendix piece as we move forward throughout this year. If we move on to physical education, for physical education, I kind of broke it down based on like what we saw across the board public comment for all levels K-12. And then there were some other specific things at each level. So like all levels K-12, there was kind of some comments within our public comment period to speak a little bit more to sportsmanship and like give a true, sportsmanship was addressed within the standards, but to have like a nice clear statement at the beginning of every grade level and every kind of course that says this is a big part of what we do is to talk about qualities of being a good sport, right? So that came through in our public comment. At the elementary, there was comments about the structure of the document and then skills-based versus game-based. Some feedback around making sure it was clear what are the skills we're teaching versus games at different levels. At the middle school, the middle school specific public comment was instead of calling the course pool, what that course really is an aquatics course. And so let's name the course what it is. One, so that there's not confusion around billiards, which has happened for the teacher that does teach this at North Pole Middle. Parents are going, my kids are learning pool, not how to swim. But it is more than just learning how to swim, right? And they address a lot of different things. And so a course change to aquatics. At the high school level for PE, there was a comment about they had a list of suggested activities and HIIT was not on there, right? High intensity interval training. And so there was comments around adding that. And so there was really a total of 4 public comments, and that's what these kind of spoke to. And then educator feedback from August 9th, there were 5 total comments. The writing team has met to review these comments. And I will say these are the things that are being addressed as they move into draft 2, right? They're adding a sportsmanship statement. They're making sure to clarify skills versus games at the elementary level. We're moving forward with the name change from pool to aquatics. We added in the suggestion of HIIT at the secondary level. So when draft two of PE comes out later this month, like you'll see this public comment reflected in draft two. Yeah, Aaron, I don't know if you want to add anything as a PE teacher.
I think the sportsmanship for sure is something that needs to be put in there. I think many times there's that's the kind of like a lost art right now for PE specifically. A lot of kids think they can just, you know, come in and it's all about being good at these games. But no, we need to build that foundation about sportsmanship for those classes. And then yeah, as for the pool, I'm glad we changed it to aquatics. That's exactly what it needs to be, with no teaching of billiards in here.
Thanks, Aaron. And then for health, kind of the summation of public comment. And I don't, Shane, did you want to make an opening statement here before I jump into things?
Yeah, thanks, Tara. So clearly health, and we knew health was going to get the most attention, and it did. 25 comments, which is it's good to hit, to have that feedback from everybody out there. I will say, much like so many things in Fairfax, that the feedback was split. There were some people who didn't want us teaching anything about sex ed. There were some people who thought we weren't going far enough to teach it. And then there were some people who were saying, well, you guys are doing a pretty good job, and this is exactly what we need. So it was very much of a split kind of thing. There were some really good suggestions, we thought, as we read through them. There were some really good thoughts, and those are put in. At the bottom of this slide, we can see here that the supplemental list for sex education has been sunsetted. So just so everyone is clear about what that means. So you have the curriculum that has been okayed by the school board. And then you also have some materials that are supplemental, extra things. And because teachers use supplemental things all of the time, that's what our teachers do. That's what teachers always do. You have their main items and their supplemental items. Supplemental sex ed items have to be approved by the school board. That's a state law. So that started back in 2017. That's when that law was passed. So in 2017 and 2018, this district got, I'm guessing, 10 or 12, maybe 15 at the most, different supplemental things that were put in and passed in 2017 and 2018. That was a long time ago. Many of the items that were passed were websites with links that some don't work anymore. There's a little bit of concern of, once you approve a link, you really have no control over what happens to that link later on. So there was that kind of concern. And really what Dr. Meinert, he talked to the board members, I think, about this also, decided to sunset everything. And now we'll have any kind of sex ed supplemental items. They do have to go through a process already. If they go through the process and they're approved, they're not approved forever. They'll be approved for, I think, 3 years. We're still working on that part. And then they'll be sunsetted, and then they'll have to go through it again if they want to. Something else that we found is that most of the supplemental items, is that there was a specific teacher or two who wanted to use that item, and then that item got approved. And then it's hit or miss whether those teachers even teach here anymore. So actually, we kind of went through our head thinking about, okay, from 2017 to now, how many of the high school and middle school health teachers are the same from 2017, 2018, and there just weren't that many. I don't know, maybe one or two. There was a very small number. So if those teachers that are still around want to redo it, they certainly can. But we did sunset all of those. The only thing that we did not sunset were public health nurses as classroom speakers, because that was approved by the board last year, that any public health nurse can come into the classrooms and talk about sex ed, because there is a specific curriculum and they're professional nurses. So no matter who they are, we just get their names every year. We update it on the website and say, here are the ones who can come into your classrooms. Everything else got sunsetted out. So that was just something that I want to make clear to the folks here. And then for anyone out in the public, because I know that the supplemental items, that was a big thing out in the throughout Fairbanks. Thank you, Tara.
Perfect. Yeah. And that, just to the guest speakers, we got updated names as of the 30th of September. Actually, they emailed back with the current list of who their public health nurses are. So so what we saw, kind of to summarize the public comment a little more specifically from what changes shared, is for all levels, so K-12, we saw suggestions about adding specifics around recognizing and reporting of grooming. And so I would say, and again, like, remember the writers came in and I've looked at all this, and it's that interesting piece of like, when you live in the world of curriculum and standards, you read the standard and go, oh yeah, that's what this standard is talking about. But the standard, like, if unless you live in the world of education, you don't necessarily read it and go, oh yeah, that's talking about grooming, right? So making sure to really clarify that we did actually have things in there that relate to this in draft one, but as we move from draft one to draft two, we'll be making that more clear that that's addressed. There was comments and suggestions about addressing screen time and online safety. And so those will now be addressed in the draft two. And there was comments about addressing consent. In that piece, the writers decided not to add like any specific lessons or content into the curriculum, because, and especially at like the high school level, realize that health is one semester long course and that's it. So kids take it one time for a semester. And in middle school, they do one quarter of health each year, right? And then of course in elementary, we don't have standalone health teachers. So it's like that takes a village to teach all the health, and it's the whole school hitting different pieces. But consent is hit through Alaska state law with Aaron and Bree's law, which has to be taught every year. So those concepts are covered. And so we will probably add maybe kind of a general statement into the curriculum document about how consent is addressed, but it's addressed through this path, not necessarily through specifically in our curriculum document. Outside of those three things, there wasn't anything else like elementary specific or middle school specific. High school, we did have, there was some comments around making sure to really be clear about identifying all types of contraceptives. And so there was standards in there that address speaking to like abstinence and other contraceptives, but not necessarily, and I wouldn't say you could list every single one, but like wanting some more clarity to make sure we were hitting like major contraceptives. And then of course in health, we also, comments from here, right? So like Jeremiah's comment from our last meeting, like that is getting added in as well at the middle and high school level. So and so again, like overall there were 25 public comments. There was feedback, 12 different comments from educators on the 9th, and we will see these things reflected as we move from draft one into draft two.
So the reason that Jeremiah's things aren't here is because he said them here, as opposed to it's feedback on the.
Yeah, and it is captured actually in like.
Right, because I do remember doing it.
Jen made sure to like put it in there. I was like, well, I'm going to say like here that Jeremiah is that is being added in at that level. I wanted to make sure. And I will say, Jeremiah, like when we met as writers and I brought that up, they were like, yep, makes tons of sense. Let's do it. So. Yeah. Any questions on any of those public comments? I just have one more kind of like timeline slide I want to make sure to speak to around all the curriculum stuff before I'm done. But if there were any specific comments about anything, I could answer those. Okay, then certainly if something comes up, so just so we can kind of see moving forward, right? So draft two of PE, health, music, and art will happen over this month and next month, right? So again, PE, health, came in on the 27th. That writing team came in and met, and so they had a deadline of this coming Tuesday to have their work done so that then Jen can work to make the public-facing document look nice and pretty. And then that'll happen, right? Like I said, music is coming in next week and art is out for public comment right now. But once we have that public comment, you know, we will bring those writers together. I did want to call it like next month, right? We're November 21st for board curriculum committee meeting, right? So not the beginning of the month, but more near the end of the month. And at that point, the goal is that we would be looking at PE, health, music, art, like those draft two would all get presented here for you guys to look at. And with the goal then that in January, right, we wouldn't have a December meeting then. And then in January, like our hope is that draft two of everything is essentially the final draft so that when we come back in January, we could be asking this committee to write the memo that recommends adoption of all the curricula to the school board. So that in February, at the February school board meeting, we could present all of these curricula to the school board so that at the second meeting in February, the school board could adopt all of that curricula and we could be done with curriculum adoption before we move into before we move into state testing time. Because that's kind of where we ran into last year once we pushed past that third quarter into the fourth quarter, then we also have state testing, which is a huge part of what Jen has to do. And it gets hard. Plus the further we get into spring and the weather starts to get nice again, nobody wants to come and sit in a meeting and we need a quorum to get through our work. We wouldn't be done though. We would then in March want to address elementary science materials. And so when we adopted high secondary materials two years ago, we didn't go all the way through with elementary. So we have a recommendation, but it did not come to this committee and it didn't go in front of the school board. And so we want to bring that back to this committee to fully look at elementary science materials, right? Like our current elementary science materials are older than any kid that is in elementary school. So they have not had new science materials since, I don't want to say the year. So then the goal would be like in the April meeting, this committee would write a memo to the school board saying, yes, we recommend the school board adopts the elementary science materials. And then in the May school board meetings, we would present those materials and get those officially adopted as support. What is not anywhere on that timeline, but will exist is CTE. I just wasn't sure where we were going to fall. I can give a quick update though that the education pathway, when we come in November, we should have draft one of the elementary CTE or education CTE ready for you to look at. I'm not sure where we're at with our agriculture, so that might happen in November. If not, that would kind of be a January, kind of February piece as well. But they're close to our timeline, maybe off by a meeting or two. So.
Looks like we have some questions online. Ms. Richards.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I need clarification on November 21st. Is that now a meeting for this curriculum committee? I was unaware of that.
Yeah, sorry, that's my fault. I realized that the November 7th meeting, I had a conflict that I'll actually be in Anchorage with other board members at a board that the AASB, Alaska Association of School Board conference. So that was an oversight when I was looking at the schedule originally. And so we shifted that to November 21st when I am available.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Nadine?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to say I have to leave at 6:30. So if there's anything that, I don't know, we need to vote on, I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you. We're not voting on anything else today, so I appreciate that, though.
So this is Don. We have December 5th is tentative, but I don't see it on the schedule, so we're planning on not meeting at that time.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I'll defer to Mr. Burgess, but I would say between meeting on November 21st and then turning around to try to meet in December, we won't have done a lot of work, and McKinsey and I will be out of town at the beginning of December. So unless Jane wants to talk about all the fun stuff, we won't be available.
I'll say that I did schedule my vacation so I could get back in time to do that if we need it, but I'm not gonna push for it. If we don't need it, we don't need it.
All right. Yeah. All right. This is Heather, and for the beginning of this year, I found myself having to write lesson plans and teach health because I didn't have a teacher or a sub to step in. And the textbook that we have, and I would suggest maybe asking other middle school principals or other health teachers, is really difficult for sixth graders. And there are several sections like under influence of health where the students would repeat the same section of the same chapter that they did the year before. Could they use that? Probably. Could that create a little bit of a problem and some resistance from the students? And so I don't know, maybe there could be, you know, some supplemental materials for especially sixth grade, right? Because their goals are different. And like I said, I probably wouldn't have known that had I not had to do the lesson planning and teaching of, and I had sixth and eighth graders. And so I took the units that were consistent with, you know, nutrition or basic health, and we were able to make it work. But I'm concerned that the book is too difficult for the sixth graders, and then they'll repeat certain sections during seventh grade. So I don't know if anything that needs to be supplemental, that needs to be approved, might need to be talked at the next meeting.
Yeah, and I would think, and not to throw Aaron underneath the bus, but he is one of our writers for PE and health, but this came up, right? Like, I think this was part of the conversation. And as they were working through last week, like trying to really look at when to call out these pages or this chapter for each grade level. And I think even on August 9th, I remember at least one of the teachers in the room going, we use the same book for all three grades. What are we supposed to do? Right. Like, so it is definitely a concern that's out there. And so the other piece I would say with that is, so what have anything sex ed related has to be school board adopted, right? But if we are wanting to suggest other resources, like for a nutrition unit, like we can add that in, right? And that's also some work that can be done like in the appendix of our document, right? So the appendix is kind of the living, breathing portion of a curriculum document, in that that's where things like scope and sequence tend to go, which can change from year to year as the school calendar changes, right? That's where some suggested activities or like community resources can go, which also could end up changing year to year. So those don't always go, doesn't like go in front of the school board like the meat of the curriculum document does. And that's where we can add in other resources as needed too. But I do know the writers, and Aaron certainly chime in if I'm not capturing what you guys talked about effectively on that day, but had the conversations around the same book, all three grade levels. There is some overlap in standards, but there is definitely a difference between what happens in sixth grade health, seventh grade and eighth grade health, and certainly between sixth and eighth grade, and trying to make sure we're supporting that. Yeah. And that's all I have, unless there are other questions. My last slide just says thank you. So
any more discussion or questions, or folks online can raise their hand if they have anything.
I might actually have a question, Tara. So I was just looking at the music curriculum again, and I noticed that at the beginning of each grade, they have their readiness standards and then ongoing learning goals. And for fifth grade, we have experienced music from other cultures, including Alaska Native cultures. But then as I'm looking through the fourth grade curriculum, I don't know that I actually see that in the must-dos. I do see it in the exploration. But if exploration is something that is optional, we might have to look at maybe just matching those up a little, unless I've missed it. I mean, it's possible too.
No, that's a great, yeah. So, because really, if they're coming in, students should already be able to do these readiness things as they enter fifth grade, then we should be seeing in fourth grade those are addressed. And so if we're not seeing a clear call out to something that's on that list, we definitely want to make sure. And so, like, I'm making a note, and we'll dig in a little bit more on our side, but then we'll make sure also to bring that to the writing team, right? Like, to make sure it gets put that, you know, because you're right, like, very quickly the right page above, I do see under exploration experience,
right,
American music, Alaska Native, but again, if that's not a must do, then how are we saying it's that they should already have had that coming into fifth grade? Yeah.
I just wanted to say, maybe not necessarily on the topic, but we do have a lot of music teachers that have come into this career in a very non-traditional path. You know, we have teachers who have gone to music school, have the degree. We have some that have performance majors, but have no education background. We have some that are classroom teachers who don't have any music degree. We have folks that aren't even teachers who are teaching music. So I think, you know, all the information in here is great to support folks that are probably struggling in some ways to really figure out what to do. And so I do appreciate the time and the suggested activities and things like that. And I think it's important to acknowledge that we're all in sort of very different places. So thankful for the writing team to have some robust activities in there for sure.
No, thank you for that. And I'll be sure to pass that on. It is hard to capture when you think about where we're at with the teacher that's coming in that has no teaching experience and maybe no music experience, and having a document that is helpful for them, but then also have a document that is helpful for you that is a veteran music teacher in our district, and it still works for you as well, right? And so trying to like bridge all of that is not an easy task.
Yeah. No, and you're not gonna hit everyone. I was thinking, man, maybe they may not know what some of these things are, but I think there's enough activities in there that they can they can figure it out.
Okay. Not seeing any hands online or in the room, so that basically brings us to general comments and questions on the agenda. Any general comments, discussion? Okay. I will say apologies for my tardiness. and thank you for your patience. Mr. Bean.
I do. I just want to say that this may be Mr. Burgess's last meeting. We don't know, because what happens is when the new board gets confirmed, then the new board president kind of chooses which board member goes into which committee. So this may be his last meeting. And if that's the case, I do want to say thank you to him. It's been a very easy partnership that we've had here, and we appreciate your leadership on this and would hope greatly that whoever the next board president is would put you right back in the same chair.
That is my hope, and I'll say that on the record. but it is true. The board president gets to assign committees, so we will see. Okay, well, if there's no further comments, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Melanie. I move that we adjourn.
This is Don. I second.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you all.